محمد رضا With logic's eye and heart's pure light He navigated truth through day and night With logic's eye and heart's pure light He navigated truth through day and night الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome again to another episode of the scientific genius of Imam Ahmad Raza Rahimahullah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have been listening to this, the most magnificent personality, the most diverse, the most versatile personality, such multifaceted, who has so many different aspects which are shining chapters of his incredible short, brief, but comprehensive career where he has helped the deen of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many different ways. So inshallah azza wa jal, in this episode, we will talk about his services to chemical sciences. Subhanallah. We have talked about him as a mathematician, as a physicist, and we talked about him as a medic. And then inshallah, now we'll talk about his chemical sciences. But before that, as always, we would like to remind ourselves of the benefits of reciting Salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, one of the most auspicious forms of worship and the one which is incredibly rewarding. So our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, wherever you are, recite Salat upon me, indeed your Salat reaches me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith and so faith refreshing for the true lovers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever you are in the world, whichever continent, whichever country, whichever city, whichever town, and wherever you recite the salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it indeed reaches the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why our grand Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza, rahimahullah ta'ala, who has given, in addition to so much else, to the Ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has also given us his masterpiece of poetry. And in that, he has given that incredible salam, which we listen amongst the company of the lovers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that famous salam-e Raza, the same salam of Imam Ahmad Raza, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which, in which he has written 172 couplets. And in that, from the, if you look at the salam and all these couplets, Allahu Akbar. So from all these couplets, he's also described the apparent beauty of the beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So in those, he also says, Duro nazdik ke sunne wale wo kaan, kaane laale karamat pe lakho salam. That's our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has been given such incredible, such magnificent hearing that wherever from distance, from afar or nearby, wherever you are, indeed, everything is listened by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because those ears, they are not just ears, they are actually cause of what? They are actually the cause of miracles, because miracles occur through the blessed hearing of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, how fortunate we are that we are in the company of the lovers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are adhering to the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, where no speech, no bayan, no madani muzakara, no chapter, no action, no event of Dawat-e-Islami is complete without the benefits of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded in the form of sharing a hadith or a quotation. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So stay with the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, keep watching Madani channel, inshallah, our love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continue to enhance, inshallah, azza wa jal.
and the in, the great personality, the versatile personality, the reviver of Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah ta'ala, alhamdulillah, he's the embodiment of the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his actions, with his words, with his with whatever he has written. Every aspect of his career, of his life, it demonstrates a different aspect of the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on the sunnah of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep us steadfast on the recitation of salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Ameen. Bijah al-Nabi jil-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, as I've introduced, that inshallah azza wa jal we'll be covering the services to chemical sciences of Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah ta'ala. Subhanallah, again, there is so much to cover, and I'm not sure that one episode could do justice to the incredible services which are provided by Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. So where should we start, what we should talk about? But I thought that the best would be that if we begin with one of the most important, the most significant, or perhaps the absolute life of the world, and that is water. Water, such a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this the water is the reason of existence of life. That's what science teaches us, that had there been no water, there would be no life. And that's the reason, as we expand our territories, we expand our journeys, we expand our expedition, our explorations of the universe, of the planetary system, what are we looking for? What are all these scientists are looking for? They're looking for signs of water. On any planet, if you can find of water, that could mean life could in theory exist there. So such important that water is. And this water, which has been mentioned in the glorious Quran in so many ways, shapes and forms, this is such a great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where it is the reason of existence of life based on the teachings of science, we also know that if those students of chemistry and those who have interest in the structure of the water molecule, who would have interest in the physical properties of water, the chemical properties of water, so they would know that there is water is one of those substances, one of those molecules which is perhaps the most researched in the human history. There is so much which scientists have tried to explore. And it is this. So if you look at the chemical properties of water, Allahu Akbar. If you think of that, there is. If you look at just the formula of the water as a chemical properties, two atoms of hydrogen, one of oxygen come together, and that bond creates water. And one of the first things which has always fascinated the scientists, that is that if you look at the equivalent molecular structures, you would realize that they actually can't exist as a liquid. So if you take example of hydrogen sulfide, so H2S, but cannot exist as liquid. Lots of other examples we could give. But the beauty is that the water can exist in all three shapes of matter. So it can exist as a solid, as we see in ice. It can exist as liquid, as the drinking water. It can exist as a gas in the form of steam. There are so many different, there's so much more. So it is one of the best solvents, this water. How many things we actually dissolve in water? How many things we actually are dependent on water? And then if you look at the entire water cycle, the beauty of that water cycle is just second to none. Think of this water cycle and how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept this water in such incredible equilibrium. If we contemplate in this universe, look at how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has maintained this water cycle for millennia. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has maintained this water cycle. So we have these huge bodies of water, the oceans, And then from the oceans, the water evaporates, goes into the clouds. The clouds then rain. That water is then falls back on the earth, and then that is absorbed into the earth. And then from there is ultimately then converts through the springs. Springs go into the lakes. Lakes go into rivers. Rivers go back into oceans. And then the water cycle continues. Again, oversimplified. But if you see that how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept this water in equilibrium, and we see that when there is a slight imbalance of this water, then suddenly we are suffering with floods, we are suffering with water damage. So much which we can talk about water. Today I want to talk about the chemical aspects of water and how does that relate to this, our Imam rahimahullah ta'ala and his research, our Imam and his teachings. So this is, it's such a blessing. And of course, how is that possible that Imam rahimahullah ta'ala, he would not talk about that. So Imam rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about, he talks about water. And look at again the depth of his understanding. So he talks about, as part of an answer to question, he talks about vapors. And then he talks about ice particles. And he says that the size, whether they are, so the size of these ice particles, and then also the transparency of these ice particles, then the texture and the composition of these water particles. He talks about all of that. As part of teachings of deen, as part of teachings of religion. Look at the intricacies he is describing about vapors and about ice particles and ice crystals. SubhanAllah. And if you, again, the students of science and the students of chemistry would know crystallization. It is such a beautiful phenomenon. So if you think of crystals, and as you would have seen, if you ever look at crystals and when the crystals develop, so let's say if it is quite cold outside and the cold environment we see, in some places we have ice, in others we would see crystals. So how come the crystals are not the ice particles and the ice cubes or they're not vapors? And then if you look at the shape of those crystals, and again, those who study that would tell you that the shape of those crystals are also in an absolute perfect mathematical equation. Even those crystals have a mathematical beauty to them. If you look at those crystals, how they're formed, the structure of those crystals. So sometimes we give example that if you look at the beauty with which a spider casts its web, and if you look at that web closely, do you see the struts of that spider, the cobweb? And those struts, they are such intricately, delicately balanced, but they are perfect for the purposes of that cobweb. Similarly, if you look at water crystals, the crystallization of water, the temperature at which it happens, the density at which it happens, the environment which it needs to make crystals, that is very different from the environment where we would get vapors, where we would get ice particles or ice cubes. All of those, it's still water, but is manifesting in so many different forms. So we understand that now through all the study of the molecular structures which we have learned in the last 100 years or so. But Imam Rahmatullah Ta'ala is talking about it over 100 years ago. And he's describing the fine particles and the transparency and the size and of the crystals of the ice particles. Allahu Akbar. And then in another question, he talks about not just water, he says about the color of water. So we know that we say that water is colorless. But Imam Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he describes a viewpoint about the color of water. And then he says, do you define the water as colorless, or do you define it as white color or black color? Then he says the porosity of water. So is water porous? Is water actually has holes in it? How do actually things get dissolved in it? And then he says, what about, so if you look at the light, and how does it refract from water? So a simple experiment, which I'm sure we would have done in our science classes, but you would have noticed it otherwise. So you take a glass of water, a transparent glass of water, And then if you put let's say a pencil in it, and you would notice that the angle at which the pencil enters the surface of the water is different from what we are seeing underneath the water. So what has suddenly happened to that pencil? It hasn't changed its shape, but it's actually the refraction of light, a different medium. So the light reflecting in the air as a medium versus water, and that then the differential creates that angle which we see at which that stick is in the water. How does that happen? And then you would have seen all the other experiments with water. And Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he's talking about water under those circumstances. He's talking about water in such detail. And I guess here, if I can take a moment to talk about one of the things which is really close to my heart, and of course close to the hearts of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that such a blessing of water that people have spent their lives researching water. People have spent their lives trying to understand and describe water cycles. People have tried to describe this, and if you want to recognize how significant a ni'mah this water is, and as I've said, so without water, how long can one exist? And again, you know, scientists have put estimates on that, but it's not long. It's no more than a few days where a person can exist without water. And how important this water is, that look at those who travel to space. So if you look at astronauts, for example, as they go to space, and they are in the space station sometimes for up to 6 months, a year, and how important that water is, that they actually, even when they exhale and the sweat, all of that is also conserved in the environment of a spaceship, and is then it's recycled. So there are people, there's so much effort is going into conserving water to that extent, because that water is so, it's fundamental to life. And here we are, who are constantly wasting water. I mean, how sad that is, that we are wasting water with absolutely no concept, with absolutely no understanding of how great a name it is. Look at Dawat-e-Islami, look at the Department of Fazan Global Relief Foundation, how they have making so much effort to go into the far-flung areas right in deserts in Pakistan, in other countries, to do what? To actually help dig wells for the local people there so they can have easy access to water. There are people who travel miles upon miles in different parts of the world to actually get enough water to sustain life. So they're the people who are trying to conserve each and every drop of water. And here we are brushing our teeth and the tap is open. We go to take a shower, and whilst we are using soap, the water is on. We do wudu, a form of worship. We do wudu. The purpose is to seek rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek reward. We're rinsing our mouth, the tap is open. We're cleaning our nose, the tap is open. In all those places where, the scholars who have been trained under Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah ta'ala, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullah ta'ala, who's given us the encyclopedia of jurisprudence in the form of Bahari Sharia. In that he's described that in order to clean one's nose, just a half palm full is actually enough. So you don't need a full palm, because just half of that is sufficient to clean one's nose. So he says that to use full is actually israf, is wastage of water. So our scholars, those who have been trained in the company of Imam rahimahullah ta'ala, they are teaching the ummah how significant this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And here we are, who are wasting water with absolutely no regard of how significant this name is. Ask those who are in a space station, ask those who live in a desert, ask those who are in places where there is no clean water, and they're struggling to exist. And here we are, because we have water and we're wasting it. And if you look at, so there are people who they take shower, and there have been calculations to say that people are wasting hundreds of liters of water. Why? Why are we wasting all that water? We drink water. And this is again the teaching of Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliyah. If you watch him during Madani Muzakara with those bowls of water, the clay bowls, he uses clay pots following the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. In those clay pots, when he's drinking water, look at how he would try and drink to the last drop of water. And then he would put his clay pot, his bowl down, so that the water from the walls of that will ultimately accumulate at the bottom, and then he would try to drink it again, that remaining few drops of water. Allahu Akbar. When we wash our utensils, look at how much water we're wasting. So there is no need to use that much water. We can actually put water in a large tub, for example, and we could have used that to clean. So if we had what Amir al-Sunnah would say, a Madani mindset, if we had an Islamic mindset, if we had a mindset to save water, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would open the ways for us. But no, we don't think that like that. There is, I was reading an article which suggested that a third of the food on earth is wasted. A third of food is wasted. And so imagine how much water is being wasted. So there is so much of an issue of misuse of water, of israf of water, and that is something which we need to take heed of. We need to think about it. It's a great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the chemical properties, the research and all of that. And we as the sort of the basic users of water, if we can't stop ourselves misusing water, then we are not really, then we are holding ourselves in a very serious position, where if we were to be questioned on the Day of Judgment, and indeed that we will be questioned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala clearly says in the glorious Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. All ni'mah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to question us, where do we stand with our answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So viewers of Madani channel, think about it. And then if we waste, then that is that we will be held accountable for that. So then the other element which is important, dear viewers of Madani channel, and that is about that when the situations where you want to know about a bit more about the water properties, as we are discussing. Imam Rahmatullahi ta'ala, he wrote this booklet, Ad-Diqqatu wa Tibyan, in which he described the latest theories of fluid dynamics. Allahu Akbar. So water is a type of fluid. So he describes the fluid dynamics, and he described all of that in detail in this book. And in that, as part of that, he describes nearly 307 types of water. So the question was regarding wudu. And the question was, okay, well, what type of water can be used for wudu? Allahu Akbar. And then, this description, he describes it, physical properties of further 43 types of water. So he described 350 types of water in total and explained each type in detail, and also provided Sharia guidance for each type, whether that water can be used for wudu. Allahu Akbar. Look at the depth of his knowledge. Can we think about 350 types of water? And then another element which is so closely related to that, and that is around tayammum. So I'm sure the brothers and the viewers of Madani channel would know that that wudu, so that is an essential of for salah, for example. So now if the water is not available and one has to offer salah, then what do? And then for that, the Sharia has given us the facility to do tayammum. So now the question was to Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala about tayammum. So first, Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he describes definitions of tayammum. Allahu Akbar. Then he describes the situations in which one could do tayammum. So what is that situation? So now one which is relatively well known, Amir Ahl Sunnah has also mentioned in his book about the laws of Salah and about the imam which would usually find. And then he has described, as I mentioned, those the types of water. And then he also says that there are 160 types of water which are okay to do wudu. Allahu Akbar. imagine, so you were talking about just on water and the inability to or in access to water. And in that, Imam has written hundreds upon hundreds of this, providing a comprehensive guidance to Ummah. And that shows the breadth of his knowledge. That shows his his grasp of the entire literature on Islamic jurisprudence which had been produced so far. And Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala so beautifully brings it all together in one place, and he brings it all with evidence. So that's what he's done about water, the inaccess of water and tayammum. And then another question, which is again, and now, this is the question where before we delve into that, I want you to think about that this is now, again, going back over 100 years, and he's now, what he's going to now describe here, this is one of the in-depth research examples of geology and mineralogy. So under chemical sciences, one could say that the knowledge which he's sharing here, even a geologist or a mineralogist might struggle to bring it all together as Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala has brought it all together. So this is what I'm going to now share with you. So a question comes to him about tayammum. And so over 110 years ago, and this is now he's describing mineral physics here. So mineralogy and mineral physics in book Al-Matru Sa'id. And in that, he talks about those stones and minerals, because remember, tayammum, if again simplifying it, tayammum can only be done with things which have origin in earth. So in, the thing which needs to have an origin in earth. For example, we cannot do tayammum with plastic because that is not originating from earth. So we need to, but we can do tayammum with dust, with dirt. Why? Because that has origin in earth. So now, in order for one to describe a ruling on the types of substances which can be used to do tayammum, one needs to know which substances have origin in earth and which substances don't. And imagine the types of chemicals, the types of materials, the types of matters, the types of substances which are available on this planet. And Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala, in this Al-Matru Sa'id, he describes these stones and minerals. So what does he do? He describes 311 types of substances. Allahu Akbar. 311. So if I were to ask a mineralogist or a geologist to name 300 substances, one would struggle to put a list together. And Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala has done that under the description of tayammum. Why? Because this is going to make things easy upon the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does he say? He gives a list of 311. And then he says that of those 311, 181, they have origin in earth and hence can certainly be used for tayammum. Allahu Akbar. And of those, 130 do not originate from earth and hence they cannot be used for tayammum. Allahu Akbar. So 311 of those 181 can be used, 130 cannot be used. So imagine for those how much research one would require to know what's the origin of that. So I've given a plastic as a simple example. But let's say if I were to talk about a brick, if I were to talk about paint, if I were to talk about wood, does that origin in earth or not? Is it permissible to do tayammum with that or not? So if you think purely as a scientist, even a scientist would struggle to describe the origin of that. And as we know, I mean, there is usually a lot of discussion to decide where does this matter belong, where does this originate, all of that. Allahu Akbar. And Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala, the most immaculate knowledge he has of minerals and substances and the physical properties of those, that he says 181 substances can be used for tayammum, 130 cannot be used. And look further, so beyond that, Allahu Akbar. This is eye-opening. I mean, this is, you know, one is awestruck when one reads this type of research in Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala's manuscripts. So what does he say? He says, of those 181, he says 74 substances are already known and described in the last 12 centuries. and 107, I have added myself to this list. Allahu Akbar. 74 in 12 centuries, with hundreds, perhaps thousands of scholars, their research, and Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alone, based on the modern definitions, the new substances which have been discovered, which have been invented. And Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala says, 107 I've added myself. And then he says, the substances which you cannot use for tayammum, of those 58 are already known, and 72 I have added myself. Allahu Akbar. If I pause here for a moment, just let the gravity of this statement settle down. Just think to yourself, what sort of this, one has to say that this is inspired knowledge. How could one have that depth of knowledge, that understanding, as a Islamic scholar, to have that level of understanding? And then what does he say further? Allahu Akbar. This is the statement he used when I discussed with you in taxonomy, and I discussed about the how he brought the ahkam of awamir and nahi, he brought the ahkam of permissible and not permissible together, five on one side, five on the other side, and mubah as sort of crossing both sides. And then he said that, remember, memorize this sequence, because you will not find it anywhere else. And I discussed that the authority one needs and the confidence one need to say that you can find it in this book or that book is much easier than to have the confidence to say that you can read all the books ever published on this topic and you will not find it anywhere. And that's the strength of knowledge of Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. So he says that when he describes this, and he has added himself nearly 200 substances to that list, and then he says, look at this list carefully. So I'm paraphrasing, because you won't find it anywhere else outside here. So that's the strength of his knowledge. He knows by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this has never been published before. This has never been shared before. This is truly inspired knowledge which Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has shared with the Ummah. And then, so that's why, you know, if I were to give a task to even a geologist or a mineralogist and say that here is a, you know, just name me 100 minerals and then describe their origin, describe their location, describe the physics of those stones, describe all of that and the dimensions of that and the uses of that and the utility of that, would they be able to do that? But our Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has done with such authenticity that this is that beggars belief. Alhamdulillah. So it's a great rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to be blessed with such a great Imam, and great rahmah for us to be in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, founded by Amir al-Sunnah, who is such a great lover and follower of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala, that whatever we're listening today, it's indeed all his faizan. It's indeed all through him, through his mindset, through his motivation, that we are, alhamdulillah, in the company of the righteous ones, in the company of the lovers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and talking about Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala always keep us in the company of the righteous ones, in the company of the lovers of Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah ta'ala, and may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to benefit ourselves from his teachings as well. Ameen, bijahin nabijil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay tuned for another episode where inshallah Azza wa Jal discuss Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullah ta'ala in a different light of his scientific genius. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Ahmad Raza, with logic's eye and heart's pure light, he navigated truth through day and night. With logic's eye and heart's pure light, he navigated truth through day and night.